Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10, and reading verses 17 and 18. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. And when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God." And our subject this morning is, what is it to be good? What is it to be good? Now, in these verses before us, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, as we all know, this is his earthly ministry. And he has been approached by a man, a rich young man. That is how he is known. And this is very apparent in the verses before us. He is a young man and he is very rich. He has many possessions. And he approaches the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And well, he comes in a good way. He comes running to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 17, there came one running. He comes with urgency to seek the Lord Jesus. And he asks him a very important question. He says, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This is, of course, as we often consider in our evangelistic messages, this is a tremendous question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? A vital question. This shows that this man, although he was young, he had considerable wisdom. Considerable wisdom. He was a wise man. He was not a fool. He was not so foolish to think that this world is all that there is. He wasn't a fool like that. People who think that, think that this world is all that there is, and we must find all our pleasure and all our happiness and all our contentment in this world, that is a foolish thing. A foolish thing to consider and to believe. This man was wiser than that. He asks about eternity. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Even though he has so much in this world, even though he has so many possessions, well, he knows that the greatest riches, the greatest thing that he can possess is eternity, is that promise, is that assurance of eternal life. So he is a wise man. He knows all these things. And well, I hope that we have come this morning to this place seeking that wisdom. That's one of the most basic teachings of Scripture. The purpose of this life, the purpose of this life is not to live for this life. That's not the purpose of this life. The purpose of this life is to prepare for eternity, is to prepare for what comes next. That's the purpose. If you miss that, you miss the whole purpose of your life here on earth. The purpose of this life is to prepare for the next. And this rich young man, well, he seems to have an understanding of that. And this is very important for us to understand. And so this man, well, he comes to the Lord with this question. But before the Lord answers him or says anything that will respond to his question, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I can put it this way, he calls him out on something. This man has given him a question. He said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" But verse 18, Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." He questions him about the way he has addressed him. This man has come running to him and said, "Good Master." And he says to him, "Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? In other words, what the Lord Jesus is trying to get through to this man is, do you actually understand what it is to be good? Do you understand the meaning of that word? Do you understand it in its fullest and highest sense? What it truly represents, what it truly means to be good. Don't take that word lightly. You must understand what it really means to be good. Because you see, eternal life, if we are to inherit eternal life, to know an eternity with the Lord, we must be declared to be good. That's how we must be seen as people. We must be declared, these are good people. Of course, we are going to a good place, to heaven. And so if we are to enter into that good place, we must be declared to be good people. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to communicate to this man. So do you know what it is to be good? How can we get that title? How can we be declared to be good? Can we ever be good enough to inherit eternal life? Is that even possible? And who decides whether we are good enough or not? Who makes that declaration? All these things, all these questions emerge from the Lord's words here. Why callest thou me good? What is it to be called good? Now, everybody, I believe every human being, at least the vast majority of people, whether they're religious or not, we all want to be thought of as good people. Every single person I've ever met, certainly, they all want to be thought of as good people. That's a great desire within us all, even as children. Yes, children, they like to do naughty things. They like to misbehave. But the vast majority of the time, if you ask them, are you a good boy? Are you a good girl? Or are you a naughty boy or a naughty girl? They will always say, I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. Very, very rarely, if ever, will they say, I'm a naughty boy. They don't want to be known like that. I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. That's an instinctive desire. They want to be seen as good. And well, that's why parents say to their children so often, you're a good boy, you're a good girl, because we know it gives them great joy to know that. It gives them great joy. They like to hear that title. They like to be declared to be good people. And of course, when we grow up as adults, it doesn't change at all. We all want to be known as good people, good in whatever office we hold, good employees, good parents, good neighbors. We never want to be known as bad neighbors or bad parents or bad employees. Of course not. We want to be known as good people. And if you think about it, everything we do in public certainly is to portray a good image of ourselves. All the decisions we make, we always ask ourselves, will this present me to be a good person? That's what determines all our actions and all our decisions. How will people perceive me? I want to be represented as a good person. We'll never or very rarely do anything that will cause us to look evil or wicked in the eyes of anybody. We always want to do that which is good. We always want to keep up a good reputation. That's what dominates us. That's what dictates us. Now, perhaps you may disagree, but this is very true. This is the reason, of course, why people don't like the Christian message and the gospel. And I've mentioned this so many times. The gospel, well, we say that people are sinners. We call people sinners. Well, the Lord, the Word of God, says that we are all sinners. And people don't like that. Why don't they like that? No, because we're all good. Instinctively, they want to call us good. Don't call us sinners. We are good people. Good by nature, good by birth. So within every one of us, you try calling somebody a sinner, anybody, and they'll react. They don't want to be known as a bad person. It's good. We all want to be known as good people. That is a great desire within every single one of us. But man's view of what is good and God's view of what is good is very different. Man's view of what is good, and this is what the Lord is trying to point out to this young ruler, man's view of what is good is very distorted. We cannot clearly see what is good. In fact, well, man is very often mistaken into thinking that something evil or something wicked is good. Man is often mistaken into thinking that. He's deceived into thinking that something evil is good. And we've had many examples of that throughout history. The most obvious example, of course, that we can think of, the Second World War, and we think about Nazi Germany and their persecution of the Jews and the Holocaust and all the terrible things that happen. And so often we ask ourselves, how could these things happen? How could the Germans have done this? And the whole nation was behind it. How could it have happened? Well, what was behind their persecution of the Jews? They thought they were actually doing a good thing. They didn't think they were doing an evil thing. That's not how Hitler portrayed it. We're going to be so evil to the Jews. They portrayed it as a good thing. It's a good thing to purge the world of this Jewish nation. They thought it was good. And so this is what we see in history. So often we can deceive ourselves into thinking that something evil is good. We are deceived. We don't have a good grasp of what is actually good, what is actually right or wrong. We can be deceived. We can, well, make great and terrible mistakes, as a whole nation did in the Second World War. A whole nation was fooled. We so easily as individuals can be like that. I'm sure there are many times in our own lives when we thought we were doing good things, but actually we were doing that which was wicked. And also, well, how can we declare anything to be good? Our knowledge is too limited to know what is truly good. We cannot truly declare what is good. I know many people, and they say, I know this person in my community, in my neighborhood, and he's not a Christian, but he's a good person. He's a very, very good person. And they're adamant on these things. There are good people everywhere. I know this person, he's good. That person is good. But how can you really know that for sure? How can you ever really know that somebody is perfectly good? Do you see them all the time? Do you see all the things that they do in private? Do you see all the thoughts that go through their heads? Do you see the state of their hearts? How can you really say this person is good when you only really see half the person? You don't see what they do in private, in secret. We don't have that knowledge to declare that somebody is a good person. We simply don't have it. But God has that knowledge. God, of course, has that knowledge. He can declare if somebody is good. God sees all things. God knows all things. God sees everybody and what they do in private. He sees that. All that they do in secret. God sees all their thoughts that we don't see. God sees and knows the state of their hearts. God is able to declare when somebody is good or not. He knows. We don't at all. Our knowledge is way too limited. And while he alone, God alone, is qualified to judge what is good, he is the only one who is qualified to judge what is good, because he alone is good. He alone is good. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. None good but God alone. And so if we truly want to know what is good, we have to seek the Lord. We have to seek God, of course. He is the only one qualified. If you, for example, wanted to know how to cook, well, wouldn't you go to a qualified person to show you how to cook? Somebody who is qualified to do that? If you wanted to know how to teach somebody, wouldn't you get training from somebody who's qualified? You wouldn't just go to anyone to show you how to teach. Somebody who's actually qualified to show me how to teach. Well, in the same way, if you want to know what is actually good, you have to go to someone who is qualified. The only one who actually is good. That's God. That's the only way you can know what is good, what is right, and what is wrong. God alone. He is good. He's perfectly good. He's gracious. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's loving. He's pure. He's holy. Everything that God does is good. All his ways are good. We read in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, that God created the heaven and the earth and the seas and all that in them is. And what did he say at the end of the sixth day? He said that everything was very good. Everything that God does is good. That's not the same with man. Man doesn't do all those things that are good. Man is tainted with sin. Man makes mistakes. You can't look to man to see what is good. Man is tainted. Man is corrupt. The Apostle Paul said that we have all fallen short of that holy standard. We have all fallen short of what it is to be good. So don't look to man to decide what is good. This is what people do. How does the world decide what is good and what is right? Oh, we look to man's philosophies and commentators and people on the TV. They'll tell us what is right. But they're sinners. They don't know what is good. They're corrupted men who make the wrong decisions, who have made great errors in their lives. Don't let them lead you. You have to go to the God who is good. He will lead you in the right way. So, dear friends, all these things, we must know and understand what it is to be good. God alone is qualified, and God alone will judge us. He knows what it is to be good. Christ will judge us. That's what the scriptures say. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, when he returns to this earth, he will return as judge. He will be the one who separates his people from the children of darkness. His children will go into eternal life. And all those who have spurned him, well, they will go to a place of eternal darkness. He is our judge. And so we must hearken to the word of God. But let us look at how the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who is holy and pure and good, how does he judge this rich young man? Is this rich young man good enough to inherit eternal life? Well, we look at verse 19, and the Lord says to this man, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." Now, of course, this is essentially derived from the Ten Commandments. But look at verse 20. "And he answered," the young man answered, "and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Well, this young man, he mistakenly thinks he is good enough. "I am good enough for heaven." He's essentially saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, "I've done all these things. Aren't I good? Aren't I a good person?" But in verse 21, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, very gently and very lovingly, says to him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And well, the young man, in verse 22, he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Well, this is a very sad thing. You know, the first of the Ten Commandments. What is the first of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods, nothing that distracts you from following the Lord God. But this rich young man, he had another god in his life. He had another idol. He had his riches. His riches will keep him from following God. He's already broken the first commandment. He thinks he's kept them all. Oh Lord, aren't I good? He's actually broken the very first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, but his riches, they are his idols. And well, if you break even one of the Ten Commandments, you've broken them all. That is the teaching of Scripture. So how then can we be saved? That's what the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be saved? And the Lord said in verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It is possible to be saved because God has sent his Son. If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We shall be declared good. If we follow him, if we have faith in him, then we shall be declared good and holy and righteous. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we have faith in his goodness. His goodness. He is perfectly good. He is perfectly righteous. He came from heaven to earth and lived a life that was perfect obedience to God. And when we have faith in Christ, we know that his goodness is given to us. We are given his righteousness by faith. Every Christian knows that they will go to heaven because Christ's righteousness is their righteousness, not because of their good works, but because Christ has given his perfect life to us. That is how we are saved. That is how we are declared good. And of course, we trust in the cross at Calvary, in all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, his suffering, his dying. The cross of Calvary, you know, in a great sense, that is a good thing, the cross at Calvary. That is a good thing. Some people will say, how can you say that? How can you say that the Lord Jesus Christ suffering and dying on the cross, and you think of all that happened beforehand, how he was betrayed by his own disciple, Judas Iscariot, how he was, accused in a sham trial, false witnesses risen up against him, how he was beaten, how he was scourged to the bone, how they put on him the crown of thorns and sent up to the cross to suffer and to die that terrible death reserved for the worst of criminals. How is that good? Some people don't understand that. How can you call that good? Well, in the sight of God, it was good. Let God decide what is good. In the sight of God, it was good. Because when Christ died, it meant that all those who believed in him will inherit eternal life, will be saved. All of those millions of people, billions of people will be saved, will not be lost. They will spend forever, eternity with God in heaven because Christ died. It was good that he went to the cross. Yes, he suffered and he hung there. But think of all those souls that were saved, all those sinners who did not deserve heaven or grace or mercy. They will look to Christ and be saved. This is good, dear friends. Don't let anybody say otherwise. At the heart of the gospel is the cross. At the heart of the gospel is the cross. And what is the gospel? We all know it. It's good news. It's good news. It's not bad news. Oh, it's bad news that Christ has died. No, this is good news. Christ dying on the cross in the sight of God was good. because anybody who trusts in him shall be saved. So don't ever be ashamed of the cross and of the gospel. This is what it means to be good. It's very different to man's idea of goodness. So, dear friends, what is it to be for you? Are you somebody who believes in Christ? Are you somebody who is going to put him first? Have no other gods before him? Are you going to repent? That's the only way that you can be declared good. That's the only way. If you reject Christ, you will never be declared good. Never be declared good in the sight of God. You might be declared good by your friends. You might be declared good by people in your neighborhood. Oh, that's a good person. That's a good girl, a good boy. But ultimately, at the very end of your life, when you stand before God on the threshold of eternity, you will not be called good. The one that you most need to declare you good will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You are not good in my sight. You never followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You never followed the way of goodness. You rejected the way that was good. Only God is good, and you rejected him. You followed the other way. So how can I ever declare you good in my sight?" Dear friends, can you live with that? Can you live forever with that? That eternity of condemnation, knowing that you are a lost sinner and you will never be declared to be good ever again. Dear friends, there is time and opportunity to come to the Lord now and say to him, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I am not a good person. I know the only way I can be made good is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. So, Lord, come and bless and save me according to thy gracious will." And he will. You will depart, not sorrowful like this man, but you will depart from this place joyous and triumphant if you give your lives to Christ. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do thank thee for the glorious teaching of thy word. Lord, we know that thou art the God who is good, and all thy ways are good. O dear Lord, may we not reject that good news that has come into this world, that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, suffered and died on the cross, that we may be forgiven, that he did all those things for our eternal good. O dear Lord, help us, we pray, that we may humble ourselves before him, that we may do that which is good, and repent and have faith, and be followers of the Lamb. We ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.